Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, January 12th, 2025. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And Skol Vikings. My Minnesota Vikings are playing the LA Rams tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. It is playoff time. Please wish me luck, Skol Vikings. Speaking of the Rams, being from Los Angeles, you know, obviously thoughts, prayers, you know, we're thinking of you. You know, anyone who's out there who's been affected by the fires out there in California. I've had some good friends that have been heavily affected and devastated by the stuff going on out there. So, you know, there's people who have lost their houses, who have lost all their belongings. Some people have even lost their lives. I mean, it's an absolutely terrible situation. So just wanted to let everyone know who might be, you know, out there that might be listening, that may have been affected by that. You're in my thoughts, and I know there's nothing I can say to make the situation better. I can only hope that, you know, maybe you get a little, just a little bit of enjoyment out of listening to this show today, and can escape a little bit just talking about pro wrestling. So, you know, thoughts are out there to everyone affected, and we'll talk about some wrestling today. We got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of topics. We got results, we got predictions, we got spoilers. So without any further ado, let's go through the list of topics and jump on into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for MLW Kings of Coliseum, West Coast Pro, Only the Strong Survive, Prestige, Roseland, GCW, Sorry Pal, and Thank Me Later, two GCW sets of results today. Also have predictions for The People vs. GCW. That show is going to be coming up on January 19th. Speaking of a review for that show, I know I've been telling everyone, I'll keep you in the loop. The plan for The People vs. GCW, the GCW Hammerstein show, I'm going to be doing a review right here on Fightful Select for the Weekender. So next weekend, we're not going to talk any other indie promotions, nothing else going on. Well, I should say nothing else is going on, but as far as our coverage goes for this show, I mean, we're going to just talk about GCW next weekend, and next edition of the Weekender will be a full review of The People versus GCW. I'm really looking forward to that show. Once again, that'll be on January 19th. Also on January 19th, we will have TNA Genesis, so I'll be doing predictions for Genesis right here on today's show. I'll be on the post-show live on the main Fightful YouTube channel with Joel Pearl and Crest the Star, so really looking forward to that. It's going to be a big, fun night of pro wrestling. I mean, we're going to be, I can't speak for everyone, but I know I'll be watching both GCW and TNA, and depending on how the Vikings do, I'm really, really hoping when they advance past the Rams for the next round of the playoffs, I'm really hoping they don't somehow fall on like their game being at the same time as the GCW and TNA shows. I really hope that doesn't happen because I am committed to being there for the post show regardless. I love doing those. I love hanging out with Joel and Cresta. You know, so I'm going to be doing that either way. And then right here where most of y'all listen to me already talk about GCW, that's where we're going to be able to find the Hammerstein, the People vs. GCW results. So little housekeeping there to start the show off to let you know where I'll be on January 19th. And because that show's on a Sunday, the Hammerstein review will probably be Monday night when I get off work from the shoot job. That's kind of the tentative plan as of right now. And the last thing that we'll talk about in today's show is we'll do spoilers for Ring of Honor. We've got Honor Club spoilers. I will put a timestamp in the description below right here on FightfulSelect.com so you can remain spoiler-free if you want to remain spoiler-free. You know, for all the Ring of Honor stuff going forward on Honor Club. So once again, a good mix of results, predictions, and spoilers. MLW, West Coast Pro, Prestige, GCW, TNA, and Ring of Honor. So that all being said, jumping to the first set of topics today. We're going to start off today with MLW. This is Major League Wrestling, Kings of Coliseum 2025. This show took place from the NYTEX Sports Center in North Richland Hills, Texas. Show is available completely for free on YouTube, on the MLW YouTube channel, MLW Wrestling, Major League Wrestling, however you need to find it. It's right there on YouTube, completely for free. And this show took place live last night on January 11th, 2025. These are the results. Show started off with before I even say this, this was a great show. I'm going to just preface this by saying this was a great show. My review is not going to be able to do this show justice, in my honest opinion. I thought from top to bottom, start to finish, this was a damn good show. And the opening match, I thought was awesome. I really loved it. And I don't generally like these type of gimmick matches usually. I'll explain here in just a second. But the show opened up with a Gravity Gamble match. So the concept behind this is it's a six-person match or five-person match. It was Cruel, Akira, BRG, Justice, and Thomas. So it was five people, a five-person gravity gamble match. And what this means is it's similar to like in TNA when they would do the Feast or Fired matches, where like there'd be multiple briefcases and whichever one you got, like you didn't know if it was going to be like a title shot or like you'd get fired. And it's similar for this match where it's a ladder match with a bunch of briefcases hanging over the ladders or over the ring, and you obviously use a ladder to get them. But the twist in this is that some of the briefcases have like nothing, some of them have weapons, and one of them had a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. And that's when the match ends, is whoever opens the briefcase, you're revealing the number one contendership in the essentially Money in the Bank style briefcase and guaranteed title shot for the World Championship of Major League Wrestling. So that's the concept of the match. I know it sounds a little kind of like hokey as I say it, and on paper, especially if you're used to like the Feast or Fire that I'm talking about, TNA, but this match was badass. Like, this was an awesome match where these guys went all out. There were some crazy spots in this one. Of all the matches on this show, this is the one that I can do the least amount of justice trying to explain. Justice kind of didn't even mean the double meaning in that, but Matthew Justice in this match absolutely killed it and just death-defying stuff as you expect him to do. Like there was one spot where he hit a spear off of a ladder and like through a ladder that was like out, like beside the other ladder, kind of hanging up against the ropes. It was just so nasty, this match, so much fun. Basically what happens, oh, I didn't even see who was in the match, but like I kind of glanced over it. You had Mads Cruel Krueger winning the match over Akira, Bret Ryan Goslin, Matthew Justice, and Mr. Thomas. Basically the finish of the match, to try to describe it for y'all, everyone's taking their turns like trying to get to the last briefcase, that world title shot, because everyone knows at that point that's the only briefcase left. It's the one that's going to end the match. It's going to be the one to grant the title opportunity. So you have Matthew Justice climbing to the top. It looks like he's about to grab the briefcase, but Cruel pushes Justice off the ladder through tables to the outside of the ring and in just a nasty spot. And then Akira tries to climb the ladder and gets towards the top of it, and Cruel chokeslams Akira off the ladder through or like into like a chair and thumbtacks that were scattered all over the ring. I mean, there were some really nasty spots in this because there was so many weapons and like I said, tacks and stuff scattered all over the ring as well. So when someone would do like a superplex, like there was a double superplex to Cruel off of a ladder at one point, and when he hits the mat, the thumbtacks just fly all over the ring. I mean, it was just a crazy visual. I can't put over how much I actually like legitimately enjoyed this match. And I love the outcome too, because Cruel, after chokeslamming Akira off the ladder, grabs the briefcase and he's gonna be the one getting a title shot, an opportunity at the World Championship, which I've been calling for a while now, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in this scenario once we get to the main event results. After that, we had Atlantis and Atlantis Jr. over Blue Panther and Dark Panther in a tag team match. The finish of this one was Atlantis Jr. hitting two frog splashes off the top rope and pinning Dark Panther to get the win for Atlantis and Atlantis Jr. in the tag match. After that, we had a big title change. MLW World Women's Featherweight Championship versus, like, title versus hair match. We had Del Miexo putting her hair on the line, who had Jesus Rodriguez in the corner, over Jannai Kai becoming the new champion. Obviously, Jannai was putting her championship on the line that she's been so dominant defending for quite a while now. Actually, let me look on Cage Match and see exactly how long Kai had that championship, because she had a good run with that thing. 455 days. I mean, there you go, over a year. So the finish of this one was, I'll kind of explain the ending sequences. So Delmi hits a Delmi driver, which looks like it's going to be the end of the match. Kai kicks out at two. Kai follows up by hitting a roundhouse kick, and Delmi kicks out at two. Kai puts Delmi in her dragon sleeper and like locks her hands behind her back, like the extra torque and leverage. And while she's doing that, Delmi fights out of the dragon sleeper and puts Kai into a Delmi driver nails that one more time. Pins her 1-2-3. Delmi Exo is the new MLW World Women's Featherweight Champion. After that, we had Donovan Dijak with Saint Laurent in their corner over Kenta. Another one I'm going to have to try to kind of explain. A lot happened during the finish. But basically, Kenta hits the go to sleep on Dijak, but MSL pulls Dijak, like pulls him by the foot out of the ring, so Kenta can't get the 1-2-3. Like, the ref's counting, but, you know, because he gets pulled out of the ring, the count is broken. Kenta goes to the outside of the ring and punches MSL, knocks him over, and Dijak is still in the ring. So Kenta then tries to climb into the ring, but Saint Laurent grabs Kenta's boot as he's trying to enter the ring. That distracts him just long enough for Donovan Dijak to hit a spinning pump kick, and then the feast your eyes, 1-2-3, Dijak gets the win over Kenta. At some point during the show, I can't remember exactly where they played this, but I want to make sure not to forget it. The next event coming up in February for MLW is going to be Super Fight, and it's going to be at Center Stage, Atlanta, Georgia. Eric Bischoff announced that he's going to be back on the show. We saw him recently. I can't remember the name of the show off the top of my head, but it was a recent MLW like major event that aired on their YouTube channel. And it was like, oh, I think it was Eric Bischoff's, was it called One Shot? It was something like that. But it was like literally Eric Bischoff's branded show. And he was essentially the GM that night, and he fired Alex Kane that night. We saw Alex Kane during the show as well. But he fired Alex Kane that night. There was the ending of the show where he was like on the phone with somebody, basically talking about someone he had signed to MLW or he was bringing into MLW, but we never really found out who it was. There's a lot of moving pieces and storylines right now that are centered around Eric Bischoff being an authority figure in Major League Wrestling. So, you know, whether you're a Bischoff fan or not, it's good that, in my opinion, that MLW is continuing the story with that, because, you know, if Bischoff just like left them high or dry, or they didn't want to do business like going forward for whatever reason, it's one of those things where like there would have been a lot of loose ends that weren't tied, and it seems like they're going to actually do more with these stories that they set up the last time we saw Bischoff. So I do like that. Moving on with this show, we had two more matches. The next one was a triple threat where Averno defeated Esfinge and Mascara Dorada. The finish of this one was, and this was a great match also, by the way. Like, I legitimately liked every one of these matches on this show. And every match was a little bit different than the other. And this was just a badass triple threat. I mean, like, just Lucha Libre, you know, clinic, basically. I mean, this was really great stuff. And they're trying to set this winner up. I believe the main setup is to take on Mystico. I'll call him Sin Cara. To take on Mystico. So Averno, I believe, now is set up to take on Mystico coming out of this win. The finish here, Esfinge kind of goes for like a pinning combination, and Averno rolls through the pinning combination and locks in a knee bar, forces Esfinge to tap out, and Averno wins the match by submission. And then the main event of the show, the MLW World Heavyweight Championship on the line, Matt Riddle defeats Satoshi Kojima to become the new champion. The finish of this match was Riddle hitting a Fisherman Buster, followed up by a Broton. Kojima kicks out at two. Riddle puts him in a Brostone, nails it, 1-2-3, gets the pinfall victory and the championship. This is a really good match, you know, hard hitting back and forth. Kojima can still really go. You know, he may not move the fastest, and obviously he's got a lot of miles and a lot of age on him at this point in his career, but in all honesty, I think he was a very respectable MLW champion for the time that he had the belt, the only two-time champion in history, you know, held the tag titles simultaneously multiple times throughout the world title run, and kept that lariato super strong, you know what I mean? So this was a really good title reign, and Matt Riddle was the right guy to end it, in my opinion. After the match, Riddle shows Kojima respect, and Filthy Tom Lawler comes out and celebrates with Riddle as well, who had been, you know, helping train him, both those guys with their MMA backgrounds. I won't harp on this too much because people don't probably want to hear me talk about MMA too much on this show, but Tom Lawler was a legit top five UFC light heavyweight around the time that he, in my opinion, got totally screwed by the company and the athletic commissions and USADA and all these. He basically became a, He was like the fall guy. He was like the poster boy, the example. That's the best way I can put it. He was made an example of by the UFC because they really didn't like him in his style and kind of his swag. Like he would do stuff that was kind of embarrassing to the promotion with kind of the way he'd carry himself sometimes. Some of the ring entrances he would use, like some of the gear he would wear, stuff like that. But it was all in good fun, in my opinion. And he was a badass fighter and he was different. And I was always a big Filthy Tom fan when he fought in the UFC. And a lot of the same kind of stuff kind of be said about Matt Riddle in the UFC as well. Like he was basically the example for people who, you know, use weed, essentially. People who are going to smoke weed and don't care if they fail drug tests or not. People can have varying opinions on whether or not this is right or wrong, or like, you know, whether they like Riddle for various reasons and stuff like that. I totally get all this stuff. But as far as like on a pro wrestling stage and seeing Riddle and Filthy Tom together, I do like seeing them together on screen because I know both of their MMA histories and it makes total sense that they would be aligned in pro wrestling, if all of that makes sense to y'all. That all said, I've been saying for months now that I expected Matt Riddle to be the one to defeat Kojima for the championship. The last time MLW was in Atlanta at Center Stage, they did Cruel, or I always call him Cruel because, you know, that's how we normally refer to him here on the show because of all the indie work that he does. But Mads Cruel Kruger, we're just going to call him Cruel. When Cruel took on Kojima in Atlanta, I thought for sure that was going to be Cruel winning the championship. And instead, there was like the lame, screwy finish where Cruel threw a fireball that basically was on par with like the Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan Halloween Havoc fireball mishap. I mean, it was a lame duck finish. It was a total cop out. It was a way for the company to not really beat Cruel, but also not have him win the title from Kojima. And I know MLW doesn't really, in like recent times, really, it really doesn't matter in my opinion so much, like people who are signing or not signing long-term for MLW. I think they do a pretty decent job of like getting the most out of everyone they can while they have them, whether they know how long they're going to be there or not. And, you know, the way that things have turned out, you know, Cruel since the last match has signed with MLW. To my knowledge, Riddle isn't signed, but he must have some sort of agreement with them. You know, I don't know what it is, but you know, he is their MLW world champion, but I don't know how long he's going to hold it because I think ultimately Cruel is going to be the champion in 2025. That was one of my main predictions I made at the end of last year, right here on the Weekender, this exact scenario. I said, Matt Riddle will defeat Kojima for the title and then Cruel will defeat Matt Riddle. So we'll see when that actually happens, but it looks like the wheels are spinning and the plan is in place for all these things to go through. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how they do this. I'd personally like to see Riddle have like a legit run with the title, because for the title's sake, the MLW Heavyweight Championship, it basically since the time, obviously I was aware of MLW before we covered it here on the Weekender, but I've been doing the Weekender now for over 6 years, and we've always covered MLW during this show. And in the time that I've covered it here alone, we had long heavyweight title reigns from Jacob Fatu. We had, you know, long reign from Hammerstone. We had a decent run from Alex Kane, not as long as I wanted, a long run from Kojima. You know, I would want the same for Riddle, unless they're going to use him as a transitional champion. But at the same time, if they're going to use him as a transitional champion, I don't know why they wouldn't just have Cruel defeat Kojima. Like, why would you even need the in-between of Riddle having the belt, you know what I mean? So, anyways, that's a long roundabout way of saying Cruel, I think, will be the MLW World Champion soon. Well, I shouldn't say soon. Sometime this year, but I do want to see Riddle have an actual run with the championship. So that, once again, was Major League Wrestling at Kings of Coliseum. It's available completely for free on the Major League Wrestling YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for West Coast Pro. I'll give the results for this probably pretty quick because it kind of goes hand in hand with the results for Prestige. Prestige and West Coast Pro have worked together quite a bit over the years, especially in recent memory. And also with DPW, they've done stuff like tri-branded shows with them and stuff. But a lot of crossover between West Coast Pro and Prestige. And Prestige was the more recent show where some things from West Coast Pro kind of bled into Prestige. I'll make it all make sense as we go through the results, but we're going to start off with some results for West Coast Pro, Only the Strong Survive. This was live on January 10th, 2025 from the State Room in San Francisco, California. It's available on highspots.com. And by the way, I don't talk about highspots.com enough in comparison to like IWTV and Triller TV Plus, so I'm going to do that real quick for y'all. Obviously, for IWTV, use code FightTalk. It's independentwrestling.tv. I am sponsored, you know, promoted or whatever you want to call it to promote their website. So, you know, you can obviously go there, use code FightTalk, and, you know, let the platform over on IWTV know that I sent you their way. And also, of course, shout out to Triller TV Plus. I'll talk about them a little bit more when we get to the results for Game Changer Wrestling today. But over on highspots.com, technically highspots.tv, their platform is $15 a month, $14.99, and you get a lot of great stuff over there too. I'm not endorsed or sponsored, you know, by them either. I just want to give them, you know, a little bit of shine today because a lot of the stuff I've been covering lately has been available over on highspots.tv. And, you know, companies are constantly changing their distribution. Like, for instance, West Coast Pro was available, like their last show, I think it was available totally for free on their YouTube channel. Glory Pro has bounced around, AAW's bounced around and stuff, but like that's just some good examples. You got over on highspots.tv right now, you got West Coast Pro, Glory Pro, AAW. Those are like some of the most recent stuff. I mean, a lot of pretty much the whole AAW catalog is over on highspots at this point, too. Violence Unleashed, the Brody King and PWG is on there, NGW is on there, Alpha One is on there. Obviously, that's big. A lot of interview series and stuff like that. The classic High Spots, you know, the classic High Spots interviews from back in the day that, you know, I used to buy on DVD and that kind of stuff. So shout out to highspots.tv. That is where you can watch this West Coast Pro show, Only the Strong Survive. First match we had was the West Coast Pro Wrestling Golden Gate Title Tournament Qualifying 4-Way Match. And that's a mouthful. We had Brett the Threat over Danny Orion, Jason Xavier, and Shimbashi. The finish of this one, I honestly, like, there was this, like, it was like a double team, not even double team, it was like this crazy destroyer move that I honestly can't even explain. It was like, it was almost like a sick kick into a destroyer, kind of like triple move. It was nasty. Anyway, Brett the Threat won the opener. After that, we had a six-man tag match where the Miracle Ones, the trio of Dustin Waller, Ichiban, and Kylan King, defeat Los Suavecitos, the team of Danny Rose, Adrian Quest, and Ricky G. We had Alpha Zoe and Mad Dog Connolly. They were about to get into it, and basically they're setting up a rematch, an actual dog collar match, on the next big West Coast Pro show. So nothing really went down here worth talking about between Zoe and Connolly, but it's just set up to the dog collar match that we're going to be seeing soon, which obviously anytime Mad Dog Connolly is going to have any match, but especially a dog collar match, y'all know I am 100% down to check that out. He's one of the true specialists nowadays in independent wrestling. Like, you know, it's funny because you have your people that like kind of lean more maybe luchador or might be a little more technical or might, you know, be strikers or this or that. Mad Dog is, it's like his background is essentially is dog collar matches, you know what I mean? But it's cool that he's become so well known for that. And I'm looking forward to him versus Alpha Zoe. That's going to be a banger. We had a tag team match after that where one called Manders and Thomas Shire defeated Jai Jewel and Levi Shapiro. Finish of this one was a lariat by Manders for the 1-2-3. We had a six-person tag match where the Crush Boys, the team of Starboy Charlie and Titus Alexander, who are the West Coast Pro tag team champions, they needed a partner to take on Allen Angels and Sinner and Saint, the team of Judas Icarus and Travis Williams. The mystery partner for the Crush Boys winds up being Daniel Garcia, which was awesome to see. He showed up with his AEW TNT championship, hit a nice pile driver on Allen Angels, and, you know, Garcia and the Crush Boys get the win in this one. The crowd was obviously, you know, they popped big to see Garcia there, and he's got a lot of history in West Coast Pro and with these guys involved and stuff, so very, very cool to see Daniel Garcia involved. After that, we had the West Coast Pro Women's World Championship on the line. Zara Zacher defends and retains over Becca. The finish of this one it was kind of like the final hour. It was like a one back handspring into a cutter, but the way that Becca sold it was like that she just got spiked head first into the mat. It was nasty, really nice looking finisher there, and super props to Becca for the way that she took that. After that, we had the West Coast Pro Heavyweight Championship on the line. We had Kevin Blackwood defeat Titus Alexander to become the new champion. We'll talk quite a bit about Kevin Blackwood throughout these results because he's also heavily involved with the main event of Prestige. But I'll go ahead and announce it right now. Unless something changes, you know, things can always happen, card subject to change. The plan for this next episode of The Spotlight is to interview Kevin Blackwood. So I'm really looking forward to that. He's a guy we've been talking about for years here on this show. One of the top names in independent wrestling, in my opinion. And one of the best guys, bell to bell, you know, out there in the world right now as well, in my opinion. So that's the plan this Thursday over on Fightful Overbooked for The Spotlight. Myself and Jeremy should have an interview for y'all with Kevin Blackwood. If you missed last week's show, by the way, we had Cole Radrick join us for like 10 minutes or so. He joins us pretty often on the show. Y'all know I love the Ratty Daddy. But we hyped up the GCW Hammerstein show, and I'm sure we'll talk to Cole after the show pretty soon, you know, after that show as well, to follow up, depending on how his night goes, but I hope it goes well. But just a little another plug there for The Spotlight on Fightful. If you want to check out more of my stuff and you want more interviews, that's where to find it, over on Fightful Overbooked. And then, like, the rest of the catalog over the years is still available to check out over on the main Fightful YouTube channel for our older episodes. I shouldn't even say it. It's not even that old. Like, over, you know, we made this the switch over just in like the last handful of months. But that all said, The Spotlight, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, every Thursday, Fightful Overbooked. And that actually, I should make an announcement about that. At the beginning of February, me and Jeremy are going to be moving the show. It'll still be on Thursdays, but it'll be around 6:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'll be doing it after I get off the shoot job instead of in the morning. I think it'll make for a better show for everybody because I won't be so tired. I won't be like dealing with allergies like when I wake up and stuff. I'll be way more awake. And it just works out better because I know that Jeremy's going to be busy throughout the week doing more shows over at Fightful Overbooked in the morning time. So congratulations to Jeremy for staying busy, and our show is still going on, just at a different time, same day. That all said, the finish of the match I didn't even get to, for Kevin Blackwood over Titus Alexander for the championship. Essentially, it was a Shining Wizard followed up by a Huluva kick, followed up by, I don't know what he calls it, but it's his version of like the top rope double stomp, but he always does it, or usually does it, when the opponent's standing. So like Titus is standing up and Blackwood comes off the top rope and does the double stomp right through him into the ground. 1, 2, 3. Blackwood is the new and once again West Coast Pro champion. He was the champion pretty recently. Titus Alexander won the championship from him in Japan, if I remember correctly, and then held it for the last couple of months, but Blackwood won it back here. And the main event of the show, we had Jake Something over Masato Tanaka. I can't remember. I believe the finish of the match was a something bomb, like a sit-out power bomb. It may have been the end of the void, but I know he definitely hit the something bomb, and I think that's what actually put him away at the end of this one. Nonetheless, banger between these two, and that's not the last time we'll talk about both of them as well, because they also performed at the next show we're going to talk about, and the results for Prestige Roseland 6. We got Prestige Roseland 6 from the Roseland Theater in Portland, Oregon. The show took place on last night, on January 11th, live on YouTube, completely for free on the Prestige YouTube channel. These are the results. Show started off with a tag team match where Midnight Heat, the team of Ricky Gibson and Eddie Pearl, defeated the Hammer Brothers, the team of Jack Hammer and Sledgehammer. The finish of this one saw Sledgehammer get kind of pushed into the ropes, and he's a huge guy if you've never seen him. He kind of falls backwards into the ropes and ties himself up in the top and middle rope, so he's completely helpless and watching his brother Jack having to kind of take on Pearl and Gibson together 2-on-1 at the end of the match. There was a double team Russian leg sweep and backstabber combination by Midnight Heat to Jack Hammer, followed up by the hot seat, which is their finisher, where Pearl does a backslide, Gibson comes off the top rope with a leg drop. Really nice sequence, two sweet double team moves back to back by Midnight Heat and Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson get the win in that one in the opener. After that, we had a triple threat match where Masha Slamovich defeats Hyon and Kylie Rae. Finish of this one was Smiley Kylie spitting on Masha Slamovich. Masha basically answers by kneeing Kylie in the face and then hitting her with a White Knight driver and getting the 1-2-3. After that, we had the West Coast Pro tag team titles on the line. The Crush Boys, the team of Titus Alexander and Starboy Charlie, defend and retain over C4, the team of Cody Chun and Guillermo Rosas. The finish of this one was Titus hitting a Tope Con Hilo to the outside to take out Guillermo, and Starboy Charlie hits a Shooting Starboy Press off the top rope onto Cody Chun. It's the 1-2-3 to retain the titles. After that, we had Timothy Thatcher over Adam Priest. The finish here was Priest setting up the Roll Tide. Looked like he was probably going to be going for like a figure four leg lock. And he yelled Roll Tide, so I'm assuming he was about to go for the figure four. And that basically gets reversed by Thatcher into a Fujiwara armbar, forces Priest to tap out, and Thatcher gets the submission win. After that, we had Jake Something over Matt Brannigan. I believe going into this show, I think it was supposed to be Matt Brannigan versus Kylie Rae, and Masato Tanaka and Jake Something wrestled the previous night. They had to mix around some stuff because Josh Alexander was actually supposed to wrestle Kevin Blackwood in the main event in Alexander's final indie match before he goes off to, you know, sign and do whatever he's planning on doing going forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing where Josh Alexander lands in the near future, because you all know how highly I think of him, a top talent worldwide, in my opinion. Could be a huge asset to any wrestling company. But because they had to shake the show up a little bit, we got some matches that weren't really advertised, but still wound up being great matches. That said, Jake Something defeated Matt Brannigan in this one. The finish here was Brannigan going for a Hurricane Rana. Jake Something rolls through it into the Something Bomb, which is a sit-out powerbomb. Brannigan kicks out at two. Matt then tries doing two schoolboy roll-ups and both get kick out at twos and basically runs right into the void, the black hole slam, buys Something, pins Brannigan 1-2-3. After that, we had a Devil's Playground match, which was essentially a death match. Drexel and Matt Tremont defeat Elliot Taylor and Sid Sylum. The finish of this one was Tremont hitting a Death Valley driver through a glass pane onto Sylum and pinning them for the three count. After that, we had the Prestige tag team titles on the line. Ultra Power, the team of Amira and Jaden, defeat Sinner and Saint, the team of Judas Icarus and Travis Williams, to become the new tag team champions. The finish here was double cross faces by Jaden and Amira onto Icarus and Travis Williams at the same time, causes both members of Sinner and Saint to tap out at the same time, and Ultra Power are your new tag team champions. After that, we had the Prestige title on the line. Alan Angel defends and retains over Mike Santana. A few things worth mentioning here. The crowd was super hot for the whole show, but Alan Angels has some massive heat in a good way as the Prestige champion, doing great heel work. Really, really like how much he's found himself since leaving AEW. I know it's been years, but he was still young and like pretty early on in his career when he even joined AEW, and you know, took a real gamble on himself by leaving AEW when he did, and you know, has done a lot of work obviously all over the indies, you know, in TNA and stuff like that. But you know, this really seemed like him really coming into his own in this type of situation. He's doing a great job as the Prestige champion, and Mike Santana, I can basically echo the same sentiments about. Had a more notable run, you know, than Angels did as far as like in AEW, but Santana is another guy who's really making strides. You know, big things coming up for him in TNA. I'll talk about Genesis here shortly. Speaking of Josh Alexander, him and Santana at Genesis, Santana also, you know, doing big things in companies like Hog and Revolver and like all the top tier indie promotions and stuff. So, the fans were massively into Santana too. Like, he was mega over as a babyface, and people really wanted to see him win the championship. But that's not what happened. Angels did retain. The finish here, best way to kind of describe, the ref goes down, Santana hits a suicide dive onto Sinner and Saint, who had tried interfering. He hits him with a suicide dive on the outside of the ring to take out both Icarus and Williams, who, by the way, if you didn't know, the Noise is a three-person stable in Prestige that consists of Allen Angels, Judas Icarus, and Travis Williams. So Sinner and Saint had just lost their tag titles in the match before, so there was a lot of uncertainty about like how Angels would do and if all of them would lose all their gold, you know, in back-to-back matches on the same night. But Sinner and Saint come out. They try to attack. Santana suicide dives to take them out. Santana climbs to the top rope, but Allen Angels has grabbed the world championship. He winds up hitting Santana in the head with the belt and then hits him with Angels' wings, pins him, 1-2-3. Allen Angels is still the Prestige champion. And the main event of the show, we had a singles match where Kevin Blackwood defeats Masato Tanaka. This was great, and you can tell Blackwood has so much respect for Masato Tanaka, and he's such a huge fan of Japanese wrestling and stuff like that. Like, this was a great match. This was hard-hitting. This was fast-paced. This was a damn good main event between these two guys. And you expect it to be good going into it, but you didn't even know it was going to be happening until not long before it happened because of the shift and the changeup in the card because of the weather. I didn't mention that, but obviously, like, you know, we had this stuff going on out in California with the fires over on, like, the East Coast. We've been getting a lot more snow than what we normally get. So everyone's, you know, being massively inconvenienced so many different ways because of just Mother Nature at the moment and stuff like that. So that said, this main event was great. The finish here between Blackwood and Tanaka, basically they're both up on the top rope. Tanaka's trying to hit a superplex. Blackwood headbutts him off the top rope and then hits a top rope double stomp through a standing Tanaka through a table and then pins him. Blackwood gets the win. And after the match, he respects Tanaka and, you know, they kind of, you know, give each other props as the show ends. So once again, that is Prestige Roseland, and it's available for free on the Prestige YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for Game Changer Wrestling, starting off with GCW Sorry Pal. This show took place on Triller TV Plus as a part of the Triller TV Plus package. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not sponsored or endorsed to tell you all to sign up for Triller TV Plus, but if you want to watch GCW content, that's the best place to do it. They have the live shows there. They have all their past shows on demand. So if you're a Game Changer Wrestling fan, I think you're doing yourself a massive disservice by not checking out Triller TV Plus, but that is where to watch this show. This show took place live on January 10th from the Water Street Music Hall in Rochester, New York. I know Rochester has strong ties to GCW, especially because that I believe that's the hometown of Brett Lauderdale, who is, you know, the owner of Game Changer Wrestling. Always good vibes and, you know, hardcore fans there in Rochester for Game Changer Wrestling. This was the first of back-to-back nights, as I mentioned earlier, so we got this show, then another one to talk about, starting once again with Sorry Pal. And they, of course, are heading into their big show, Hammerstein Ballroom, January 19th. As I mentioned before, the review will be right here on FightfulSelect.com, probably the day after the show airs live. The opener of Sorry Pal was a tag team match with the Garbage Daddies, Alec Price and Cole Radrick, defeat High Seas, the team of Cloudy and Nick Ando, Captain Nick Ando, to be exact. The finish of this one was the Garbage Disposal, which I had Cole Radrick definitively clarify for me in our recent interview. I asked him point blank. I was like, listen, I've had a hard time with your finishing move because I hear some people call it the trash compactor and I hear some people call it the garbage disposal. And he said, it is the garbage disposal. I said, okay, cool. Now I know for sure to call it that. Garbage Daddy's garbage disposal. Get the pin on, I can't remember who they hit it on, to be honest. I can't remember if it was an Ando or Cloudy. I didn't write that down. But nonetheless, Garbage Daddy's get the win there. Violence is Forever, I believe, was on commentary during this match, if I remember right. These two shows kind of blend together because, you know, I watch them on back-to-back nights, a lot of overlapping talent, and all heading to Hammerstein once again, but because the next match was VIF defending the World Tag Team titles. I'm almost positive they were on commentary for that match, then came out for the tag team match. So we had the GCW tag team titles on the line. Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Q, defend and retain their championships over to Infinity and Beyond. The team of Cheech and Colin Delaney. Yes, that Colin Delaney from WWECW back in the day. Basically like their version of kind of how they try to make like Mikey Whipwreck almost. The finish of this one was VIF hitting the Berserko Chasing the Dragon, that's what I always call it. Coup with the Coup holds up Colin Delaney in a brainbuster. Greeny comes up, hits him with a Recycho knee, and Coup drops him on his head. VIF gets the win and retains their championships. And of course, at Hammerstein, it's going to be Violence is Forever versus the Garbage Daddies for the GCW Tag Team Championships. After that, we had Sidney Akeem over Marcus Mathers. Finish here with the final act, Akeem's double back handspring cutter for the 1-2-3. There was a lot being said over the weekend, apparently, about Marcus Mathers and, him probably being a more regular part of GCW going forward, which I hope is the case, obviously. He's been a pretty consistent member already, but now with all the extra eyes on him, him being WWE ID'd and all that stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if Mathers was, like, on most GCW shows going forward. After that, we had Rhino over Broski Jimmy. And they spelled Rhino R-H-Y-N-O throughout the show, but Rhino wore the R-H-I-N-O tights or trunks or whatever, singlet, I should call it, which was kind of interesting. I wonder if Rhino has anything set up now through the WWE again, because in the WWE, it was R-H-Y-N-O, but everywhere else it was R-H-I-N-O, unless I'm, like, misremembering this somehow and, like, he's been using with the Y elsewhere, but I'm almost positive that's always how it's been, but now he's going by R-H-Y-N-O, which leads me to believe maybe he's going to be signing something with WWE, like a Legends deal or something. I mean, that's just speculation. I could be completely wrong about that. I have no idea what, like, his current tie or commitment to, like, TNA or anywhere else is, to be fair, so I really don't know, but the spelling of the name was interesting to me. Rhino defeats Broski Jimmy by goring him through a door that was up in the corner of the ring for the three count. After that, we had Charles Mason versus Pero. This goes to a no contest when Richard Holiday comes out and attacks. Holiday on these shows also cut, like, really long promos. They're heading into their match at Hammerstein where it's going to be Mason versus Holiday in a steel cage. Basically, Holiday comes out and beats Mason down with a steel chair, then hits him with some moves, and him and Pero leave, which also kind of set up the next night as well. After that, we had... Let me see where I am with my notes. Oh, yeah, here we go. We had the JCW, the Jersey Championship Wrestling title on the line. Masha Slamovich defends and retains over Griffin McCoy. The finish of this one was Masha... Basically, Masha hits, like, a really nice pump handle suplex and then a knee to the face and then locks in a rear naked choke, forces Griffin to tap out. She had been working the rear naked choke a lot towards the end of the match, and eventually it was just too much for Griffin to overcome. He taps out. Masha retains the title by submission. After that, we had a tag team match where Genelesis, the team of Megan Bain and Joey Janela, defeat the Pillars, the team of Malcolm Monroe III, and Tommy Vendetta. The finish here was a doomsday device onto MM3 by Genelesis for the three count. I should mention it now because we're talking about Atticus. We just talked about Megan. Basically, at this point, like, they're running a storyline where Atticus is, like, obsessed with Megan Bain, and, like, he has, like, a crush on her. And on the next night's show, at one point, he almost did a magic trick, whipped out, like flowers, like, magician style for her and stuff. But they're running, like, this kind of, like, stalker, creepy Atticus Kogar loving Megan Bain type thing, which obviously sets off Janela as Megan Bain's real life boyfriend. So that's kind of a lot of the story going into Kogar versus Megan Bain at Hammerstein. Speaking of Kogar, we had Atticus Kogar over Effie in the next match. Big win for Atticus. Basically what winds up happening here is, Otis, the brother of Atticus, interferes, and, Effie tries fighting off those guys 2-on-1. Atticus winds up grabbing a bundle of skewers and just stabbing Effie repeatedly in the head with it. And then Mance also interferes. He has a chair. He attacks Effie. Atticus and Mance look at each other, and they start slapping each other in the face back and forth, and then eventually just kind of, like, have an understanding with one another. Mance literally gives Effie to Atticus. Atticus does the unicorn skewers to the dome of Effie and then hits him with the brain hemorrhage, his bulldog driver. And Atticus pins Effie 1-2-3. And obviously that's a big deal because Effie's heading into Hammerstein. But we'll talk a lot more about that with the next set of results here. The next match we had was the main event. We had the GCW World title on the line in a triple threat match. This was technically like hardcore rules, anything goes. Mance Warner defends and retains over Ciclope and Drew Parker. The finish here was Parker hitting a Swanton bomb off the balcony, which looked nasty. And Ciclope was set up on a door bridge. The door does not break. They had done a lot of things to try to break this door, and it doesn't even work here. Parker was really high up, too, so hits this really sweet Swanton off a balcony into a door bridge. Door doesn't break. He goes for the pin, but Mance hits a running knee onto Parker and then pins Ciclope himself. Mance Warner retains the GCW World Championship. Moving to the next set of results for GCW, we have Game Changer Wrestling Thank Me Later 2025. The show is also available on Triller TV Plus. It took place last night live on January 11th from the Valleydale Ballroom in Columbus, Ohio, and these are the results. Show started off with a six-way scramble match where Griffin McCoy defeats Facade, Jeffrey John, Matt Diesel, Teriyaki, and Trey Lamar. The finish of this one was McCoy hitting a disaster kick and pinning Facade for the 1-2-3. Up next, we have the Garbage Daddies, Cole Radrick and Alec Price, over to Infinity and Beyond, Cheech and Colin Delaney. The finish of this one was the Garbage Disposal onto Delaney for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Alley Catch over Marcus Mathers. The finish here was Alley Catch hitting a Pussy Pile Driver and then hitting a second Pussy Pile Driver. She hit Marcus in the back with a chair first. I forgot that. Chair to the back, two Pussy Pile Drivers, pins Mathers, but then picks him up on her own to then hit a third Pussy Pile Driver onto a chair and then pins Mathers. 1-2-3. That is not the last time we'd see Allie on this night either. We had Myron Reed over Zachary Wentz in the next one, a battle of rascals. Myron gets the win in this one when Zach goes for... Myron goes for like a kip-up cutter, and then Zach like lands on him to try to pin him real quick, but then Myron reverses that into a small package and gets the three. Up next, we had Gringo Loco and Super Crazy over the Rejects, the team of Reed Bentley and John Wayne Murdoch. The finish of this one was Gringo Loco hitting a 180, like he did like a 180 on the top rope into a moonsault through a door bridge, and pins Bentley for the 1-2-3 off that moonsault. After that, we had Isaiah Broner over Gary J. Finish of this one was a lariat for the 3 count. Hope to see both those guys in GCW on a more regular basis, by the way. Like, we've seen them dabble, but, you know, both guys are... I've been watching both guys for a very long time, and both super talented, with both fit in on a more regular basis in GCW, in my opinion. After that, we had Joey Janela over Rhino. The finish here was a rolling elbow, which was Masato Tanaka style, because it's going to be Janela versus Tanaka at Hammerstein. Follows up with a top rope double stomp onto a chair and pins Rhino 1-2-3. After that, we had Matt Cardona over Aaron Williams. This was basically like an open challenge that Aaron Williams accepted. The finish here was Williams going for a suicide dive to the outside, but Cardona throws a chair in his face, follows up with a radio silence in the ring, and gets the win. After that, we had a six-person tag match where Too Tough Tony, Ciclope, and Drew Parker defeats Broski Jimmy and the Pillars, the team of MM3 and Tommy Vendetta. Love the finish of this one. We saw Too Tough Tony hit the fire punch onto Vendetta, followed up by a top rope frog splash from Ciclope, and then a swanton from the top by Drew Parker. Parker pins Vendetta and gets the 1-2-3 for their team. And then the main event of the show, we had Effie and the Garbage Daddies, the team of Cole Radrick and Alec Price, over Mance Warner and Violence is Forever, Dominic Greeny and Kevin Koo. This is, of course, the world champion and the tag champions against the challengers, the potential challengers at Hammerstein. Effie and Alley Catch are wrestling, and then the winner of that takes on Mance at Hammerstein, of course. The finish here was Cole Radrick hitting a stunner on Mance Warner, Alec Price hitting Mance with a surprise kick, and then Effie hits a top rope sack rider and pins GCW champion Mance Warner 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. The babyfaces celebrate with all three title belts. VIF attack. This is all after the match. They celebrate with the belts. They're not the champions, but they're celebrating like this is what's going to happen in Hammerstein. VIF attack the Garbage Daddies. Alley Catch comes in and attacks both Mance Warner and Effie, and Alley Catch ends the show by hitting a pussy pile driver onto Effie, onto the world championship, and she stands tall holding the GCW world title to end the show. So that all, of course, is heading into GCW Hammerstein. That is GCW, the people versus GCW. I'm going to give you my predictions right now for the show. I set the stage pretty well. I'm sure you all have been listening. I hope you all have been listening. You can always go back and listen for previous weeks here on FightfulSelect.com. But I've been talking about the show a lot, and it is almost finally here. So I'm not going to get into all the storylines and stuff because we've done enough of that. I'm going to tell you who I think is winning and losing these matches right here, right now. We got the People vs. GCW coming up on January 19th. This will be airing live on Triller TV Plus from the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, New York. These are my predictions. We got Amazing Red, Grim Reaper, and Homicide versus Griffin McCoy, Kerry Morton, and Tony Deppen. As much as I love my dude Griffin McCoy, Amazing Red is the one who, you know, made me a fan of indie wrestling back in the day. He's one of the first guys I really got into back in the late 2000s. They're the OGs here. I think they get the win. I'm taking Red, Reaper, and Homicide. I'm going to take Charles Mason over Richard Holiday in the steel cage. I expect Pero to finally turn on Holiday. We have... I'm going to take Atticus Kogar over Megan Bain. The main reason being that Megan Bain already has a built-in world title shot from winning the Do or Die Rumble, so she's already a made woman. Plus, they need to continue to elevate Atticus, in my opinion, if he's going to be sticking around. They need to kind of pick up where they left off when he left GCW years back. So I'm going to take Atticus in this one. I'm going to take Joey Janela over Masato Tanaka, mainly because I think it just does more for Janela long-term in GCW to get a win over Tanaka in Hammerstein. And I think this match is going to live up to the hype. Both guys, you know, big expectations coming into this one, but I'm going to take Janela. Matt Cardona versus a mystery opponent. I'm going to take whoever the mystery opponent is over Matt Cardona. Watch it be Chris Jericho. I called that a while ago. I doubt it'll actually be, but if I really thought about it more, I could probably give you an even better idea, but I'm just going to take whoever's wrestling Cardona is going to beat Cardona, I think. I'm going to take Los Desperados, the team of Arez, Gringo Loco, and Jack Cartwheel over Little Guido, Super Crazy, and Tajiri as a kind of passing the torch moment from like the OG kind of crazy luchadors of ECW passing the torch to the new GCW crop that we have in Gringo, Cartwheel, and Arez. Josh Barnett doing a Bloodsport match. We do not know his opponent. I'm going to assume Josh Barnett will probably win unless it's a total just, I mean, OG legend of MMA coming over to take on Josh Barnett. Like, I got Barnett probably winning that one. But obviously hard to make a prediction because we don't know the opponent. We have the GCW Ultraviolent title on the line. It's vacant right now. It's a DLC match with doors, ladders, and chairs. It's Matthew Justice, John Wayne Murdoch, Matt Tremont, Brandon Kirk, Dr. Redacted, and Drew Parker. I wouldn't be surprised if there was like more random names thrown in like last second in this one either, just the way the GCW does stuff. I really wanted to see Mr. Danger in this match, but I wonder if for whatever reason he can't be at Hammerstein. But as far as a winner for this one, this is really tough. We've seen some of these guys already hold the title and recently. I'm going to take Dr. Redacted mainly because he's the one who's been getting the most momentum on like the come up recently, if that makes sense. Like, Parker's held the championship. Kirk's held the championship. Tremont's been around forever, and he's held like every deathmatch championship. Same with JWM. Matthew Justice, I don't know how in and out he is from GCW. It'd be cool to see him win, but I'm going to take Dr. Redacted once again just because of the momentum. I'm going to take El Hijo del Vikingo over Sidney Akeem. I think this will be Sidney's first loss in GCW. I'm going to take the Garbage Daddies, Alec Price and Cole Radrick, to defeat Malice's Forever to become the World Tag Team Champions. A lot of ways you can go with this. You can either have VIF win underhandedly, and then Cole Radrick cashes in his brass ring and gets an immediate title shot, and then they win. Or Cole can maybe try to use that to become champ at some point. But either way, there's no other team in GCW who has any shot at beating VIF, in my opinion, at this point. And Garbage Daddies is just the right place, right time, right team. I'm going to take them to win the titles. I'm going to take Effie to defeat Alley Catch to become the number one contender. Although I would like some sort of finish potentially where both advance and is a triple threat for the world title, which was my initial idea for the main event of Hammerstein. I figured it'd be a triple threat. But if we're only getting one in a one-on-one match, I'm going to say Effie defeats Alley Catch. And then the main event of the show, I'm going to take Effie to defeat Mance Warner for the GCW World Championship. So Effie's either ending the night GCW World Champion, in my opinion, or maybe wild card Cole Ryder somehow wins the championship with the brass ring. But I think it's going to be Effie's night. It's been a long time coming. I got Effie as your new GCW World Heavyweight Champion. Moving on, some more quick predictions for TNA Genesis. The show is also going to be live on January 19th, as I mentioned earlier in the show. I'll be live right after Genesis with Joel Pearl and Crest the Star doing the Fightful post-show review on the main Fightful YouTube channel. These are my predictions for Genesis. I'm going to take Ace Austin over Moose, and essentially like dedicating it to the style of the X Division, dedicating it to Chris Bey, all that kind of stuff. Moose isn't, I shouldn't say like it's a bad idea to have him being the X Division champion. It's just, he doesn't represent what I think about the X Division. That's the whole point. I get it. But I feel like there's no reason to not put this on Ace Austin. So especially with Chris Bey being out, it gives Ace Austin something big to do. I'm going to take Spitfire, Jody Threat, and Danny Luna to defend and retain over Ash by Elegance, the team of Heather by Elegance and Ash by Elegance. I don't know what I just called them. I don't know if I just said their names together on accident or not, but Ash by Elegance and Heather by Elegance. I think they're going to lose, and Spitfire retains. I'm going to take Mike Santana over Josh Alexander. If Santana, I should say, if Alexander's heading out of TNA, it makes sense to lose on the way out, and Santana should be elevated to the world title scene anyways, so win-win for me as far as I'm concerned. Alexander gets to go off and be a bigger star in another company, and Santana can be a bigger star where he's at right now. I mean, I got to take Tessa Blanchard over Jordan Grace. I know people probably don't want to hear me say that, but Jordan, similar to Josh, Jordan's on her way out, probably heading to WWE full-time soon. Tessa's back in TNA. Tessa's going to win. I'm going to take the Hardys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, to defend and retain the TNA World Tag Team titles over the Rascals combination of Trey Miguel and Zach Wentz. I love seeing how the Hardys are doing in TNA right now. And regardless of, you know, how you feel about them, how long they've been around and that kind of stuff, they get big pops. And I guarantee you there are people who go to TNA shows specifically to see the Hardy Boys. So I think they continue their run as the champions. I'm going to take Masha Slamovich to defend and retain the TNA Knockouts World title over Rosemary in a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. Shout out to the OG originator of that, Raven. And what I'm assuming is the main event of the show, I'm going to take Joe Hendry to defeat Nick Nemeth to finally become the TNA World Champion. I feel like this is, it's overdue and probably too late in a lot of respects. But I also think that Joe Hendry is going to show up at the WWE Royal Rumble as the TNA World Champion, similar to what we've seen from Mickie James and Jordan Grace in years past with the Knockouts title. I think we'll see Joe Hendry as the TNA World Champion in the Royal Rumble. So I think that's kind of why the timing of that is all happening now. But truth be told, Hendry probably should have won the championship like 6 months ago. So those are my predictions for TNA Genesis. I'm going to go ahead and put a timestamp here for the ROH Honor Club spoilers, because that's going to be the last thing that we cover right here on today's show. So as I do that, sorry, my computer's going a little bit slow as I type this up. All right, I gave you enough time to get out of here if you don't want spoilers. So spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Coming up right now to end the show, to end the Weekender this week, spoiler alert, we have Ring of Honor, Honor Club, TV taping spoilers. These were from January 11th, so last night at the time of this recording. And they are from the Atkins Ford Arena in Athens, Georgia. These are for upcoming episodes of ROH on Honor Club. These are courtesy of PW Insider, and these are the spoilers. We got Brady Booker over Ilya Drago, Beast Mordos over Tony Nese, The Infantry, Sean Dean and Carly Bravo over Rosario Grillo and Jimmy Wild in a tag team match. We got Blake Christian over Parker Lee. Good to see Parker Lee doing more. I got to call some of his stuff in Championship District Wrestling years back. But Blake Christian, y'all know I'm looking. I don't. He's not listed for Hammerstein, but there's no way he's not there unless like he somehow had something. There's no way he's not going to be. I just realized I didn't say anything about him at Hammerstein. He's got to be doing something, Blake Christian at Hammerstein. He's been way too involved. Former GCW world champion. Been doing a whole character shift recently. He's got to be at Hammerstein. At least I've been expecting him versus Leo Rush, but you know, nothing announced or anything about any of that. But that just reminded me, no Blake Christian on the Hammerstein preview I just did. Other spoilers we got, we have Top Flight, the team of Dante and Darius Martin over QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. Got Shane Taylor Promotions, the team of Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor, along with EJ Anduka and Lee Johnson over the Dark Order, team of Evil Uno and Alex Reynolds, along with Boulder Bronson and Answer Pentico. And looks like the main event of the tapings, we have the ROH Women's TV Championship. It didn't specify here if this was like for the ROH Women's TV title or if this was a proving ground match for a future shot. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter because Red Velvet defeats Angelica Risk. Speaking of CDW, got to do stuff with Angelica Risk on those shows. Also, the Infantry, a lot of CDW Championship District Wrestling alum here. QT Marshall was on those shows. I believe Aaron Solo made an appearance. Lee Johnson, I think, may have been there. I've seen Lee Johnson live at Battle Slam. So good to see all these talents getting more and more looks wherever it is. You know, Ring of Honor in front of the eyes of the wrestling world over on Honor Club. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please watch the Spotlight, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, soon to be 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday is FightfulOverbook.com and on YouTube. Also, please use code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv. And yeah, I feel like that's pretty much everything that we got going on. Once again, my Vikings, wish me luck. Skull Vikings, until next week and enjoy some professional wrestling. I've been Steven Jensen. And one more time, Skull Vikings.